Ara Ara.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the Ara Ara channel. I'm Amy, your host for today, and with me are Vibs, who is my co-host, and Ali. Hey guys!
Hello! Hi!
Hi!
So how are you guys doing today?
All good. Thank you so much for having me on board with the Ara Ara podcast.
And you, Vibs?
Yeah, I'm also doing good. We just came from the Call of Duty event last night, and it was amazing. So they launched the season 3 of Call of Duty, and yeah, I think that's it. How about you, Amy? How are you?
I'm actually sick. Oh. It doesn't show in my voice. Like, if I sound weird, it's because I'm sick.
Oh my.
But it is what it is.
It's okay. It's worth the lamb chops and steak that we ate
last night. Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a really good dinner time.
Yeah, it was.
That event was fancy.
Yeah, because it was an address. So,
I mean, yeah.
Ooh, outdoors and whatnot. Yeah, it gets pretty windy, actually.
Yeah. It Plus does. The food and drinks. So, that's what happened to Amy. Plus, out late. Okay. Now, why are we here today?
So, we're here with Ali because we did a recent collaboration with Otaku ME, and Ali is the marketing lead for Otaku ME. Is there anything you want to elaborate on in terms of what you do?
Oh, yeah. So, hello. My name is Ali Alomar, and I'm the marketing lead for Otaku ME, the biggest one-stop hobby shop in the whole of the Middle East for Gunpla and hobby model kits. Or, you know, just a casual place where nerds and geeks can hang out. So recently we had a collaboration with the Ara Ara channel along with other influencers based in Dubai to run a contest. And you guys won, actually, by a long shot. A long shot. Like, when we saw the numbers, every single one of the admins, like, jaw dropped. Like, no way.
Did you guys not expect it?
To be honest, the Otakumi Influencer Showdown was the name of the contest that we ran, and this was honestly like our first time doing a collab, something like this. I mean, we've done collabs before with other businesses and hobby brands, but as on an influencer level, I think this is more something that we've kind of like just dipped our toes into. So this was the first time we're kind of like testing the waters. We didn't really know what to expect, and we didn't actually know how it would go. We just wanted to get a shot out there, and oh my god, it was like so successful thanks to you guys.
Thank you so much.
Well, you helped us a lot.
Yeah,
you thought of us in the first place.
Seriously, like, I remember our boss, Mr. Kais Sedki, a really cool guy, he tasked me with like reaching out to different influencers and whatnot. And, you know, you kind of like hear these popular names around Dubai. I remembered that you, Amy, and Vibs run the Ara Ara channel, and I was wondering, because you guys have a really good reach in terms of the anime, gamers, and kind of like local community here in Dubai, in the UAE. So yeah. I want to get you guys on board and see how reaching kind of different audiences would play out, and amazing results, honestly.
Thank you so much for having
us. Thanks for trusting us in the first place.
Yeah. I wanted to ask Amy, actually, like, how was the experience? Because for us, like, we haven't really talked about the overall experience of how the collab was.
Actually, initially, we didn't really expect anything as well. So we were in the same boat as you. You reached out to me, right? And you were like, hey, we have this influencer showdown, yada, yada. And then we're like, yeah, but we have like 500 followers.
But not anymore.
Cool. Not anymore, but yeah, we're like, yeah, sure, no problem. Here's our media kit, and we'll see whatever happens. Like, we were just happy if we were talking, and we were like, if we get one purchase, then like that's it. Like, we're really happy that someone bought with our code, and that seems like yay.
I think
I was telling Amy. Is he really sure that he's inviting us?
Yes. No, honestly, because I think one of the main targets or objectives that we had for the influencer showdown was, from a business standpoint, kind of like the way our business will grow is if we always gain a new audience. And currently, we're only attaining to those who kind of like know the hobby, but there's like a whole rabbit hole kind of like to explore along with this type of thing. So we kind of wanted to reach out to other audiences like gamers, anime fans, and honestly, like, the Ara Ara channel was the first thing to come to mind because you guys are that audience. So of course I wanted to kind of like grab your audience, but I wanted to give you our audience as well.
Thank you so much for that, Ali.
We do have a question though. Like,
sure.
You obviously work at Otaku&Me, and like, I think to even work there in the first place, you really, really have to be into the hobby. Like, you can't just pick a random person and be like, "Yeah, we have an opening. Like, you can try.
Come on board.
Know, like, it's a funny story how I got hired, actually. So it was back in 2016, and it was at Comic-Con. Yeah, a bit of backstory. I was watching Gundam, as you do, and I discovered an ad for Gundam model kits, and I wanted to look more into it. I was like, hey, can I start building Gundam model kits? And I looked at sources for Gundam model kits here in the UAE, and there was only one shop that came to mind, which was Otaku&Me. I found their Instagram page, which was extremely small at the time. I think it was like 400 or 500 followers only. And they used to do a thing. Well, it was only the boss, Kai Sadki, who was kind of like posting every now and then. And he used to like post these builds, post kind of like this trivia thing. And I always used to get the trivia answers correctly, like every week, to the point where he would start tagging me. And it's like, hey, can you get this one right? And then, yeah, and then Comic-Con rolls around, and I meet with him in like full cosplay, by the way. So like, I'm there like loaded up with face paint and like horns and whatnot, and I'm like, hey, I'm through Alamar over on Instagram. It's like the boss comes up, it's like, oh, do you want the job? I was like, yes.
And just like that.
Yeah, just like that.
Amy, and now we know. Now we know how to get the job.
I was like, yes. And then he invites me over for an interview. And the interview wasn't just like casual thing, because I think he had a pretty good idea of how much of an in-depth Gundam nut I am. Where like, he didn't ask the typical interview questions. Oh, like, what's your work experience and what else? Like, he trivia'd me on like Gundam specifically, to the point where he gave me a Gundam part. And he said, what kit does this belong to? And I got it, like, in 3 seconds.
No.
And he's like, you're hired. Done.
Ali, you're insane. I don't know where this knowledge came from, but you're insane.
I am.
Yeah.
But to me, that's a compliment.
Yeah. In a good way.
In a good way.
No, but like, how did this hobby start, though?
So I was building Gundam model kits, and I actually started out with Gundam and hobby kind of like in my high school days, because it was actually my mom who got me into it. So I did kind of like was watching Gundam at the time. I was like researching all this stuff about Gundam models, and I told my mom, like, she saw me super excited one day. I said, oh, like, I'm watching Gundam, this anime, and I found out there's model kits and whatnot. I topped my high school class in a subject, and as a kind of like a reward, she got me my first ever Gundam model kit, which was like horribly built. And
is this the RG78?
No. This was way before real grades. But like, it was my first ever Gundam build. It was a small figure, about yay big, and I like proudly kept it in my room on my display shelves. And then, this is a nightmare. This is actually a running joke with a lot of like collectors or model kits, like. Okay, I go out of my house, and then I come back, and my family's there, and my little cousins.
Oh,
I was
no.
like, oh, no. And then I saw the Gundam model kit, like, missing from the top of my shelf. They come up to me, and I see them hold, like, one of the pieces of it. I'm like, where's the rest of the figure? And they said they threw it out the window because they thought it could fly. From a 4-story apartment building, mind you.
Holy sh!
They're kids, so I couldn't get too mad, but it did feel kind of
the
like
pain.
Yeah, it was like my heart sank for a moment, but at the same time it opened the floodgates. Actually, I was like, okay, here we go. One model, two models, three models, and now I've lost count. And
but
ever
wait,
since,
did you started with Gundam, or is there anything else that you were interested in building? Or
I actually started out with the Gundam anime, and then that kind of like led to model kits. And there's an even interesting like funny story of like how I started into Gundam. I think if you pretty much ask anyone outside of Japan what was their first Gundam series, if they've ever watched, they'll probably say a couple of like shows from the 90s or the early 2000s, something like Gundam Wing, yeah, I know it's a really good start for a lot of people, especially Filipinos, Kabayans. And then, and then like G Gundam. But for me, I think because I was a bebe, the starting point was actually 2002 Gundam Seed was the first.
My boy, you're my first... guy. Yes. Gundam Seed, best.
Yes, honestly, because I'm half Filipino, as you know. So I was traveling on vacation in the Philippines and I stumbled upon Gundam Seed, which was airing on Cartoon Network Toonami at the time. And that was around 2004. So that was actually my first introduction to Gundam. And then 2008 rolls around and I discovered the internet.
And you're watching in parts.
Yes. Yes. You know, kind of like on YouTube, they used to like upload like digital copies of like episode so and so part 1 out of 3. Like, yeah, okay, here we go. That led me on to watching model kit videos and collections, and then I sort of like started to dig, and eventually I found myself in this rabbit hole of the hobby.
And you couldn't get out?
No.
No.
And you'll never get out.
Yeah, exactly. But wait, I just wanted to ask something, because obviously for our audience, they probably don't know how Amy and Ali are friends, because technically you guys were connected even before I knew about Ali. So what was the backstory? Were you guys schoolmates or something? And you also mentioned that you're half Filipino. So again, probably the audience doesn't know that.
The way I met
backstory.
Amy, I think our first time was at
we
the
met
cafe,
at
no? Yeah, yeah, at the cafe, yeah. Through a mutual friend of ours who's also like half Kabayan.
Half Kabayan.
Exactly. So what was happening at that time was we had all resigned from our job.
Wow.
And I'm not going to elaborate on why, but we were thinking, all right, let's freelance together. And then our mutual friend goes, oh, I have this friend who is looking for something in relation to like marketing and social media. And we're like, all right, cool. Like, let's meet him. And he comes in and he brings like a Gundam bill. Exactly. He brings a box. First of all, and
that was the first time you met him.
Yeah, that was the first time.
See, that's how crazy Ali is.
I was like, I can explain it to them, or I can let them do it. I'm gonna let them do it.
Yeah, he's like, if you want to understand it, here you go. And for me, I'm like, oh wow, like wow, okay, let me try. And then I opened the box right then and there, and then I'm like stuck on like 3 pieces. And then I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I'm so bad. Go ahead, Ali.
And you dropped a couple of pieces, especially that one headpiece that was never found again. Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
No. You have tasted peak Gunpla. You are not a Gunpla builder if you have not broken or lost pieces.
I remember the meme where if you drop a piece of a Gunpla model or something, it will go into a black hole.
Yes, yes. You never find it again, no matter how hard you try. You kind of just have to like, okay, this is my life now.
Yeah, I swear, it just disappeared. Like, I'm just trying to fit the pieces, and it was the red, like this little red thing, and then it just disappeared. I'm like, I swear, it just fell on this floor. Like, it's not here.
Never found
it's supposed
again.
To be right no. here.
That's kind of like the initiation process to kind of like getting into this hobby.
I feel like I would be super pissed if that happens to me, because so far, thankfully, it hasn't happened. But with my, you know, brain seeing a missing part. That's why I'm scared of this first build that I had, which is... See?
Oh, man.
I hate this model. I'm so sorry. But yeah, anyway, going back.
Yeah, man. So that was my first encounter with Amy. And really, really good meetup.
Yeah, it was. And the thing is, Ali even remembered that I lost that piece. Because I was like,
and he remembers which piece.
Yeah, I was like, I guess I'll just never build this again. And he's like, no, I'll give you a piece one day. I'm like, okay, yay, cool. And then we did the Otaku and Me collaboration. And we were done. We shot all the entire video, yada, yada. And we were about to leave. And he's like, Amy, just wait.
Wait.
I'm like, okay.
Wait, I remember the piece.
Yeah, and then, like, the store was literally closing. And then he comes and he's like, this is your missing piece. I'm like, oh, you remembered.
No, because that piece, so it's, when you look at the Gundam design, they're typically known for having these horns. They're called horns, V-fins, or... The Japanese would call them blade antennas. They're one of the more smaller and more thinner pieces of a whole model kit, so they're quite fragile. So they're very easy to lose. They're very easy to break. So it was like very easy for me to recall which piece Amy had lost. I was like, here you go. Please don't lose it.
Don't use that as an excuse, Ali. We already have proven many times that you're insane. But anyway.
Yeah. So I was like Amy, kind of like at one point, haphazardly building model kits, kind of just like throwing it out there. It was exciting because like opening up a model kit box was opening like a treasure chest of possibilities, like a whole new kind of like realm to explore. Okay, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And you know the excitement that you get when you open up a Lego kit? It was like that level. And then you build up that Lego model. Because Lego, to be honest, it's also a form of model making. But here's the really exciting bit. What if you take said Lego model and you build it up as the instructions say, it looks nice, looks fabulous. But what if you take it apart and you use those parts to create something out of your own creativity or your own imagination? And that's kind of like another world of possibilities to kind of like dive into. So I joined Otakumi in 2016, but I started building model kits way back from 2013. So I had kind of like 3 years experience before then. But I didn't used to build as much because the whole rarity of Gunpla here in the Middle East was somewhat scarce. But as soon as Otakumi opened up, yeah, floodgates opened. Here we go. Take my money.
But you know, I just realized I'm really dumb at math. Because you told us before that you started with Otakumi since 2016, which...
Yeah.
In at my mind, it's like, yeah, that's like 4 years ago, maybe 5 years.
No, it's
and then I realized, no, oh, yeah, that's why it just clicked. In my head. That's why I told you I'm done with math. So, I mean.
No. It's hard to believe. Like, it's 8 years already. Oh my God, no. Because I look back onto it as well, time to time. It's like 8 years. And we've grown so much because of our community support and the support of like channels and individuals like you guys and the RR channel. It was really, really good. So, what I do at Otakumi is I build models, but more importantly, I teach people. So, if you viewers are ever at the Otakumi store, it is a message, and I'm probably going to be the one replying to them. I teach airbrushing, painting, model making. And for me, that's already like a really job perk. Because I say it's very hard to find a dream job. And it's even harder to find a hobby that is your job.
You know, I wanted to ask you something. Because like, as you have mentioned, I forgot that exact saying. Like the one that says, if you're working for your passion or your passion is your work, you won't get tired. At any day in your life, do you feel that? I feel that, let's say for example, for streamers, right? They do it as a hobby and then eventually they get paid and they do it full time and then they get burnt out or tired. Does that ever happen to you?
Honestly, burnout does exist, and I do kind of like feel that time to time, especially when we have a lot of events and collaboration, especially Comic-Con time. Because once I was hired, I realized I don't have as many opportunities to cosplay anymore. I joined Otakumi in 2016, and 2017 was the first MAFCC Middle East Film and Comic Con that we were attending as Otakumi. I was attending as an exhibitor. That was burnout. Because setting up, I think when we used to participate at Middle East Film and Comic Con, when it was in the World Trade Center in Dubai, so that's 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020, we're usually the biggest, if not one of the biggest stalls at MAFCC. And to kind of like set up something like that big was, oh my God. I was running on coffee. I never used to drink coffee before until I started working. And then now I'm like drinking 7 cups a day of coffee.
That's a lot of coffee.
Yeah. Man, like funny story at Comic-Con setup as well. So for those who don't know, back then the weekends was Friday, Saturday. Comic-Con used to be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 3 days. But the setup day was Wednesday. And I remember on 2017... we were the biggest stall. Construction of our stall was, it was supposed to start by 7 in the morning, but it started by 1 and it finished by 8 in the evening. And so we could only start from 8 in the evening. So we were there from 7 in the morning. We started setting up 8 p.m. So a full 13 hours.
12 hours. Yeah, 13 hours.
And we finished setting up at 4 a.m. Well, actually, we didn't set up. We got kicked out by security because they had to do their checks. So we got kicked out by security at 4 a.m. And then Comic-Con at that day starts at 9 in the morning. So it was literally go home, take 2 hours of rest, shower, and come back. It was like... So Thursday, you had to deal with the lack of sleep. Friday is the busiest day because that's like the cosplay competition, the busiest weekend, everyone's off. And then on Saturday, Comic-Con ends at 10 p.m. and you had to close and shut down everything by midnight because I think their permits only lasted until midnight. So you had to like, like literally rush and pack everything and then deliver it to our warehouse for storage and whatnot. So a good 5 days, I think, of like struggle and whatnot. And surprisingly, the next day, we had a shipment of new items coming in and I was stationed at the warehouse. So,
oh no.
Yeah, so like a full week of like exhaustion. It was really nice, actually. My first Comic-Con experience as an exhibitor and working for Otaku and Me, there was burnout, to answer your question. But at the same time, it did kind of like have its perks because I did enjoy it. It is my passion. And I think one of the really, really cool things is no matter who you are, where you come from, whatever your beliefs are, there is always like a unifying thing between all of us. And for this, it's kind of like either you're enjoying Comic-Con or you're enjoying Gunpla and whatnot. You can just go on an even floor and just indulge in something that you're passionate about. So meeting new people, getting to know different people, making friends, I think is a real perk about this hobby.
Which is nice. Oh. And by the way, since you've mentioned about the hobby, and I like how you're just laughing off the trauma now.
Yep.
That's PTSD, but anyway. Yep. I wanted to ask, what is your favorite build so far and what makes it special?
Oh, I don't have it here, but it is displayed at the Otaku Me store if you're visiting by. It is a custom Gundam model kit. It goes by the name of the 1-1-44 high-grade Gundam Astray, which is also from Gundam Seed, mind you. So that is actually my favorite build. And I did you'll see it at the displayed at the store over there. It's in a glass cabinet. It's my holy grail. Don't touch that. So I mentioned earlier how one of my first Gunpla builds was thrown out the window. But my second Gunpla build was something that I've ordered from Japan. And it was the Gundam Astray. And I built it up. And it was a red and white mobile suit figure. And over the years, it's been in my collection. It's gathered a lot of dust, but I was like, okay, here's a chance to kind of like show how much I've grown. I bought a second Gundam Astray and I customized it and I built it. And it's a physical and visual representation of how much I've grown over the years. This is my start. This is where I am now. So that is kind of like my prized possession.
Aww.
Yeah. And, you know, it's very cringy, I think, to kind of like, I think for a lot of like cosplayers, a lot of artists, you know, to see your first anime drawing, to see your first anime cosplay, I think is very cringe for a lot of people. And to kind of like go back to see what was my first Gunpla build is also very cringe. But, you know, you also kind
but
of like
see the growth.
Exactly. The progress, you know, how much you've come. What are the things you've learned? What are the things you've improved upon? I think is also a very magical thing about this kind of like hobby. And to kind of like visually and physically kind of like see it, to touch it is really magical.
Yeah, I feel like for craftsmanship, that's really, you know, very important that to see how your craft grow over the year. Because like, especially for us in cosplay, you know, like we do basic cosplays at the beginning, just like I told Amy in the previous episode that usually first cosplays are closet cosplays, meaning anything you can get from your closet. And
oh,
just,
yeah.
Like, wear it, you know, but eventually throughout the years, if you ever get into the rabbit hole, then you will, you know,
spend
more money and be more fancy with your costume. But yeah, even in Gunpla, I think, like, you will have to spend more time in learning how to do airbrushing and all the details and, you know, because,
exactly.
By the way, I'll just tell you one quick story. So remember I told you that my brother started doing Gunpla as well, building Gundams? Oh my God, he is down there. Like, down, way further down than me. You know, like, he even bought, what's this? The God Hand Nipper?
Oh my God. Okay, yeah.
And his wife found out. The wife was like, what the f*** are you spending 3,000 pesos worth of nipper? What is this for?
Oh my.
That's how he is now.
Oh man, honestly.
And he's painting his builds as well. Anyway, sorry.
That's really good. No, it's a very interesting thing, honestly. And I'm in touch, like, even though I'm a Gunpla builder, I think of myself more as a creator or a craftsman. Mm-hmm. Because, like, we don't just cater to Gundam models. I mean, our hobby store even caters to cosplayers because there's a lot of, like, hobby supplies and whatnot that you can actually use for cosplays. People can come into our building and painting stations that we have there. If they want to learn how to paint or airbrush, hey, I'm the one teaching. I've painted a few cosplay props for my own cosplays whenever I do have the chance. And I've helped people kind of like build up and do their cosplays, because there's a lot of that this hobby can actually teach you. It's very educational. I didn't know what I was doing. I was kind of like that Patrick Star meme with the nail and the board in the head at one point. I was like that at one point. But the kind of like teaches you to grow along the way, and I've helped many people as well. And they've like gone to help other people, kind of like pass on the knowledge, keep it going. Was really nice. And about the story about you told me about your brother, the God Hand is only the start. Trust me. It's only
I showed
the start.
Amy after the God Hand nipper. He has like a brush, this, the cutter, like a whole set with the mat. That's why I said he's down there somewhere, because like painting.
It gets deeper. So, it gets deeper. Like we've had.
And I feel bad for my brother because he's the same as me. Like when I get into a hobby, I go down there.
Oh man!
So that's why I'm trying not to be too much involved yet with Gundam. So
I've been in Otaku with me for 8 years now, and I've met so many different people, and I think making friends and whatnot is really cool. But I also like talking to people, like, how did you get into this hobby? What are your favorites? And getting to see different people's backgrounds, introductions into this hobby. I remember this one guy, he walks into the store, like casually, he goes up to me and he asks, what's the biggest, most expensive Gundam model you have? I was like, sir, are you sure? It's like, yes, I recently broke up with my girlfriend, so now I have money. That was his legit line, word for word. It's like, I broke up with my girlfriend, I need something to do, I have money.
I'm bored.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish I was like, that here rich you go.
Too. Oh, man. You also kind of like meet different people and whatnot. I've met a couple of like really good celebrities. I think one of the people that I've teached airbrushing to was Yusuf Abdelbari for Dubai One News. He's also a very avid Gunpla fan.
Whoa.
This hobby and this thing will surprise you.
Amy, do you see yourself getting into this rabbit hole?
No.
No. It's not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, not to be fair. Yeah, because cosplaying, Amy didn't do it before, but now she's like, yeah, Luffy. Mm. It starts from there. But why did you say no immediately?
So, like, remember when we had the shoot? So, like, so the first time I tried, I was like, oh, okay, let me do this. And then I failed horribly. And then when we did the shoot, I was like, I know I'm going to fail really badly at this. And then I was failing really badly at this. And I'm like, Ali, just build it for me, please.
I saw. I was like, no, she can do this. She can do this. I believed in you, Amy.
Yeah. Amy was pretending that it's just part of the skit that we're doing. But in reality, she really needs help.
Yeah. I took hours to build something for 8-year-olds.
Nah. Well, you built it better than your first one, I'll tell you that.
Oh, that's true. The little things.
Yeah, but I remember Amy's Gundam doesn't even have a head on. She was filming it, and I was like, girl, where's the head on her model? She's like, oh yeah, I didn't notice that.
Ironically, it's also the same piece she missed on the first build.
Yeah. What's with you and the head, Amy?
I don't know.
Anyway.
I was gonna make a joke, but it would be too dirty, so
we can have it cut. Just tell us. We can have it edited. Okay, going back, Amy.
Ali, how do you see, because like you mentioned, like so many people have started to like really love the hobby, like the floodgates pretty much opened once Otaku Ami opened up here in the UAE. Like, how do you see this hobby evolving?
Because now we started out really small. Remember we starting out, like when I joined Otaku Ami, it was something like 400, 500 followers. And now I think on Instagram at this point, we're almost at 17,000. And over on Facebook, we're at like almost 50,000. As I mentioned, I work more on marketing. And I think how Otaku Ami, or like how I differentiate myself in kind of like that strategy bit, is to kind of like know your audience a bit more. I mean, people will kind of like sell the product. You'll always see like ads and different pages selling Gunpla kits and whatnot, which is very, very typical. But I think for me, or what sets Otaku Ami apart, is we don't kind of like sell the products or the models. We sell the culture, we sell the hobby, we sell the memes.
Yeah.
We recently went viral with a lot of our memes, the typical jokes that modelers face. So jokes about losing the parts, finish your backlog. Because one of the running gags, you'll just buy it to kind of like have it. but you won't ever build it. You're just the safety or the security of just knowing that you have it, and then that's it.
Just like in every hobby, I guess, like in exactly. video games, you have so many backlogs in reading How... books.
I know you two are gamers. How many games have you bought that have not played?
Don't ask me that question.
Okay, there Please. You go.
I don't like being called out like this.
Imagine. Wait. Speaking of, I bought all of the Final Fantasy VII games, which I have here. Wait, I'll show you. So I have all of these three.
Okay.
Hey.
How many have you played?
I've only played this.
And have you finished it?
I haven't played. Yeah, this one I finished. I've okay. played these two for an hour. But, in my defense, Eid is coming up. Mm. And it's going to be a week long vacation.
That's true.
Because, like, as far as I know, it's only Monday that has work. It's a work day. And then the rest will be holidays. So I'll be with my babies over the Eid holidays.
Mm. So what please... you tell yourself.
Stop calling me out! Excuse me!
So, yeah. Kind of like on that kind of like level, it's a bit of a gag. It's like a lot of banter. We make jokes and whatnot. I play on these things with our marketing. And we've gone really viral over the past year. We've really been booming. And I see Otaku Gaming continuing along this like growth. Because our main company catchphrase is think outside the kit, you know? So...
yeah,
it's a twist on think outside the box. We don't want to like stick to the norms. We want to always like go on a different level, be up there on a different approach. So I think this is where I see Otakuemi going.
Oh, but I have another question. So since you've mentioned that what Otakuemi does to set them apart is to sell the hobby, I really like the ambience, by the way, of the store, because you have the racetrack and then you have tables where you can actually build the kit, you know,
exactly.
like, and then you're there to help out. But at the same time, since we're building a community, where are some places where people can hang out and, you know, do Ooh. You know anything? Because like,
yes.
it's very hard, especially for me. I don't have any friends in this hobby
no
yet.
Friends.
So that's why, yeah, unfortunately,
no.
That's why I want to know.
Oh, you have us. At least me and Amy.
except Otaku ME and Amy, okay. obviously.
So the Otaku ME store is kind of like the prime location. But other than that, here in Dubai, there is Mangaya Cafe, which is fairly new. They recently opened up just a couple of months ago. They're just 2 minutes walk away from Jijiko metro station. And I think it is Dubai's first manga anime cafe. So the cafe is actually split into two parts, where on one section, you can actually, it's a manga library, and you can actually buy manga from there or buy anime merchandise. I think they have t-shirts, pins, bags, books. So it's a really, really cool place for collectors and whatnot, or kind of like just the general anime weeb meetup.
Yeah, environment. I am in my place, you know.
On the other section, it is, you have like tables where you can get desserts and coffee. So it is a cafe section, and you can choose to read manga or watch anime on a TV that they have set up there. Every so often, they also do game nights, quiz nights. I think they also had like a cosplay night one time. Mm. It's a really, really cool place. It's called Mangaya in Al Garhud, next to Jijiko metro station, or like a 2 minute walk away. Really, really cool place. And I'd say that is one of my favorite places ever.
Ah, so if people want to see you outside of Otakuemi, they just have to go to...
Probably catch me there.
Because, you know, this is what I don't like about where I live right now. Most of the cool places are on that side. I live towards the... I don't want to say where I live because, you know, I get lost online. But yeah. But anyway, I live far from that side of Dubai. So that's why. Anyway. Mm. And Amy lives somewhere near that
I'm
side.
I'm in the middle. I live in the middle. So...
I used to live in the middle too.
That got me also kind of like thinking. The recent collaboration we had with Otakuemi and the RR channel. I wanted to ask you guys actually. So, of course, we went into this blindly, not knowing how things would go. But I think main objective for the RR channel was to kind of like grow in sales with the discount code that you guys had. But I was very keen on how you guys would market Gundam model kits. And that got me thinking, which is a question I wanted to ask you guys. Were you familiar with Gundam or Gunpla before this collaboration?
Yeah.
Who do you want to answer first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
No, I was already like familiar with it. I mean, like in general, right? Like you said, there are so many different builds. There's like Lego, you have Warhammer, you have all of these custom building modification. And then of course, like you said, there was Gundam Seed back, you know, in the Philippines. And like, I would also see it when I would go on vacation. So yes, I was aware, but I was also not sort of didn't really think of the hobby, if that makes sense.
But for me, it's also the same as you guys. Like, I know the hobby. Obviously, there's a lot of Gunpla builders in the Philippines. Philippines is really a good spot for gaming, for being an anime fan, cosplay, Gundam, everything. Because most of us there grew, I mean, Japan being near us, you know, it's very easy for us to be part of the culture, watch animes and stuff. So I already know about the hobby. It's just that I didn't get the time to do it because during that time I was busy attending events as a cosplayer.
So even
if I see the kits, right? Like I always see shops having kits and stuff. I really want to buy, but at the same time I didn't have the space where to put it, you know, and to have because my time is already occupied with cosplaying. So that's why I didn't get the time. But now I still don't have the time, actually. But yeah, I mean, what I like about the hobby is that you really have to be focused, like building stuff, and you can easily see the fruit of your labor.
Yes.
You know, unlike other hobbies, like, if that makes sense. Like, there's the reward that you can always actually see that, hey, I built that, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like that's the fun part.
I think you and I are a lot similar, Vibs, because we're both cosplayers and we're both like model like enthusiasts and gamers and whatnot. So there is a lot of like similarities between cosplaying and model making with Gunpla. You know, you build your own crafts, you indulge in something you'd love, and then you complain about the uncomfortability, the no money, the no time, the no space. There's a lot of similarities there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like aside from your hobby, which is obviously Gunpla, and it's also your job, you mentioned that you also love anime and cosplay.
Yeah.
So what is an anime that you're currently watching?
I'm on pause at the moment. Ooh. But just before my pause, I used to watch another anime. It's also mecha, by the way. It's called Pat Labor. It's actually one of my favorites. I put it in my top three. Okay, besides Gundam, I would say number one is Pat Labor. Number two is Cowboy Bebop. And number three is Samurai Champloo.
Amy's taste in anime.
Yeah, that is the same.
Ooh, interesting, interesting. So Pat Labor is also a mecha anime. And it's mecha, but it's more on slice of life, actually. It's made by a very, very small team. I think only five people were on the team who created Pat Labor. And one of them was the director, Mamoru Oshii, who is also the same director for Ghost in the Shell, if you guys have ever heard of it.
Of course.
But the story of Pat Labor is kind of like there's a lot of these big construction projects, and the technology for construction kind of like evolved into mecha. And then slowly, these mechas started to be used in crime, whether it's like the drunk stealing one of the machines or like general robberies and whatnot. So in that setting, the government of Japan, it is in Japan, of course, the government of Japan started giving these machines known as labors to their police officers. So they started going patrol labor, pat labor. Well, that's where the name comes from. And it is a slice of life anime. It's less about mecha fights or mecha crime, but when it does happen, it's like really hilarious. You follow the team of misfits. And one of the main characters is actually a female pilot by the name of Noah Izumi, who is this like bubbly headed personality. She reminds me a lot about Amy, by the way. She has this like, no. I mean that in a good way. She has this like bubbly, kind of like innocent personality, but she has a lot of like these failures, but you kind of like learn to respect her as she overcomes those failures. So there's a couple of scenes. So for example, one of the most slice of life scenes was an entire episode of like no mecha fights, no battles. It was a scene at the police HQ where they were like really hungry and Noah volunteered to go get food. So she goes through the different sections of the police department asking what everyone wants to order. You get to meet a lot of these like no name, kind of like sideline characters who have finally been given a name, given a backstory. And she goes around collecting all these orders. And then once she's ready to order, she completely forgets who, what everyone ordered.
Oh yeah, that is so me.
Yeah. And then there was another scene that I remember. The elite division of the police department is on an away mission. And it's kind of like up to this team of misfits. They've been given the responsibilities of the first team. And they were like, oh, more work. And then they were like groaning and complaining. And this like kind of like hot-headed brute by the name of Ota, he says, what are you complaining? It's up to us to safeguard the city. And then another character, Asuma, is like, who's going to safeguard our human rights? In the Force, you have none.
I love how you do the voiceovers and everything.
Yes.
The dedication is there.
And then there was another character, Shinshi. He's like, oh man, all this extra work, it's really bad for my marriage. I've only been home 3 times in the past month. And then Ota again complains, that's what you get for being hitched.
Yeah.
And it was so relatable because I can't tell you the amount of times people have told me, Ali, when are you getting married? Or, Ali, don't get married. Like, enjoy life. Enjoy life now.
Yeah, no, love life kind of interferes with whatever you have to do. It's like what that guy who came in said
the
to you,
most
right?
expensive.
It's like,
compliment.
Oh, I broke up with my girlfriend. Now I can do Gunpla.
Yay! Yay! I have the money again. Money and time.
So it was very, very relatable anime, very slice of life, very mecha. I loved it, actually. The thing I appreciate about anime is open to a lot of interpretations, and everyone's like on their own thing, whether you love fantasy, whether you love like realism. But for me, I personally hit more on kind of like extended reality. So being in the world of like realism, but what ifs or at a different time period, you know, like futuristic sci-fi kind of like thing, but being grounded, I think, what really attracts me.
Since you've mentioned as well that you do cosplays, what are the cosplays that you have done so far?
Oh man.
Another rabbit hole to discuss. Yeah, so.
I started, my first cosplay was in 2012, and it was actually the first Middle East Film and Comic Con. So I've actually attended every year of MEFCC up until 2022, where I missed 1 year because it was in Abu Dhabi. But I started in 2012, and at the time there was, okay, this is, cosplay is one rabbit hole, but there's another rabbit hole of a series. It was actually a webcomic called Homestuck, and I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the name, but Homestuck is, you know. Oh, okay.
2012 was the era.
Yep, yeah. 2012 was the era. Homestuck, for the viewers that don't know, is a webcomic. It's an online interactive webcomic created by Andrew Hussey, and it is, I think, more than 12,000 pages long. I think I'm safe in saying that it is probably the second or the third most heavily worded script in the English language. At the time, Homestuck was very popular in the West, kind of like in the Americas, in Canada and Europe and whatnot, and not so much in the Middle East or Asia. I was really invested at the time. And like, I'm gathering all these cosplay supplies, and I cosplayed the character known as Gamzee, who is one of the trolls in the comic. And as a troll, he had gray skin and horns. So Vimsy might relate here.
Yeah.
But I remember putting on the costume, and I was putting gray face paint in gray skin paint all over myself, wearing these horns, like in my room. My dad walks in, he sees me. My dad walks in, sees me with these like huge horns here, like protruding from my head, wearing like face paint and whatnot. And he's like, Ali, why are you worshipping the devil? Yeah. I was like, no. So that was the start. As I went to the 2012 MEFCC, it was very small. It was the first one at the time. And I'm there, like, clad in, like, gray skin paint and horns. And I've had people recognize the character a little while longer. There are more of these characters coming in from the same series. And it's like, oh, hey. I didn't actually think Homestuck was popular over here. But no, hey, it is. And I made some new friends and whatnot. And we had this group. It was the same group of cosplayers. And we made the agreement that every year, we'd cosplay a different character from the same series. So 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015. Yeah, I was cosplaying a lot of these like Homestuck characters with like different horns and whatnot. And safe to say, there's this one shop along Jumeirah Road where I'd get my gray skin paint. And I'm pretty sure I was the only one buying the gray color over there. I was their best customer for a while.
Yeah, I can imagine. But you know what I like about attending events like this or being able to talk about our hobby now is that in the beginning you will feel like, oh, there's not much fans of Homestuck, or like there's not much fans of, let's say, whatever game you're playing or what anime you're watching. But attending these conventions, attending these events, you will find out that, hey, there are people who like my whatever I like.
Yeah.
You know? And you become instantly friends with them. That's what I really like when I attend conventions, because like I don't know people, obviously. Like I only know few, or like let's say Amy, but if I see character that I know from a certain, let's say, game or anime, they really like it when they get acknowledged. Like,
exactly.
Oh, you're from this character, and then instant best friends. So
exactly,
that's what I really like.
one of the really joys about cosplaying is it's costume roleplay. You know, you're in a roleplay with a character, and what's even more magical is you yourself are in roleplay, but what if the viewer, the audience, are engaged in the roleplay, so they become a character of their own, and I think that makes it a real, like, theatrical performance. I know, Amy, you love theater, as you mentioned in your podcast. I remember I had this one friend who was cosplaying as No Face from Spirited Away, and he was at MEFCC, and he was giving out these, like, gold coins. It was those, you know, those chocolate gold coins.
Ooh, yeah.
And people were just, like, taking and taking and taking. And then he came across this one little girl, and he offered the gold coins, and she said no. And she actually, like, curled up his hand and, like, gave them back, because it's bad to take gold from No Face.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was a real magical moment, actually. You know, the typical outside audience, I'd say, kind of like, what do cosplayers normally discuss? Oh, like, how did you make this? How did you make this? How did you make that? No, we discuss how uncomfortable are you? I remember the other things that I've cosplayed. When I played Nier Automata by Square Enix, I cosplayed 9S because I saved enough money to buy all the costume props and whatnot. I crafted my own sword. I cosplayed 9S at 2018's Game Expo, I think it was, Dubai Games Expo. How uncomfortable. I was there on the convention floor. It was nice taking photos with, like, people and whatnot. So 9S is an android that wears a wig, so already uncomfortable. I'm overheating up here. A blindfold, so I'm 95% blind. Okay, and a heavy coat. I'm sweating in the dead summer, like the heat of Dubai. Okay. I'm like sweating, and I was wearing the costume from like 1 PM all the way up to 11 PM in the night, and as soon as I, like, I took off the coat and everything, my shirt was like completely soaked in sweat. It was like so uncomfortable.
I swear, the Dubai weather is insane for cosplayers. Yeah. It's unforgiving. Yeah. Just the wig itself. That's why whenever Amy and I go to events, I try to think of the most comfiest cosplay I have.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, it's still uncomfortable. Like, for example, we went to MEFCC, right? I was wearing Nico Robin. It was a leather outfit, mind you. And I was telling Amy, I have 2 cosplay lenses for Nico Robin. One where I can see, but it's not as accurate. And one where I cannot see at all.
I know which one you went with.
Accurate. I was deciding whether I should do something that for comfort or for accuracy. Of course, I had to go for comfort because, like, I cannot go to an event, do video, and be blind.
Exactly. When I did 9S, yeah, the blindness, man. I had to wear, like, a blindfold. I was 95% blind. And what's even worse, it was a black blindfold. It was a little bit transparent. I could see a little bit out of it. But when I went into the convention floor, being an esports festival, it was, like, all dark. Everything was dark. I am blind.
I'm now overheating. You're 100% blind.
I am overheating and I am blind. And at the same time, I think there was this, like, stage performance they invited the cosplayers onto. And they asked me to go up on stage and do a little act, do a little skit. And I was like, I was so worried if I was going to, like, accidentally fall off the stage at the time. But no, I think it turned out really nice. And that was the last time I ever wore that cosplay. Now it's in my closet.
Never to be seen again.
Yep. Okay, I had my fun.
So last question for you, Ali. What advice would you give for someone who wants to get into, well, 2 things. The hobby of building Gunpla and then the other one, getting into cosplay.
There's one advice I'd pretty much give for both. And it's, if you want to get into it, just do it. Just dive into it. For everyone, it's going to be a bit different. At the end of the day, it is a hobby that you have to consider. And I always tell this to modelers. I always tell this to cosplayers who are my friends in the cosplay community who also experience burnout from cosplaying, or my friends who are tired of building and collecting. I always tell them this. It is a hobby at the end of the day, and it's something that you have to have fun with. You know, if you're not having fun with it anymore, it's completely fine to drop it. But to actually start off with it, I think it's the most important step, because you never really know how things will turn out unless you kind of, like, just try it out. For both things, there will be things completely wrong. There will be mishaps. There will be mismanagement. Things will 100% go wrong. And I think what defines both of it is how well you can recover from mistakes and what can you learn from this, because these are types of hobbies where you will only get better. For a lot of people, they see these like elite cosplayers with these grand shining glimmering costumes who walk down like a suede red carpet, you know, like frolicking through fields of flowers. They've got like people clapping and cheering for them. I think that who's never done it before, or for someone who's really new, I think that kind of like feels overwhelming because they see that they can't reach that level. And I think the biggest mistake is seeing themselves at that level right at the start, which never happens. You know, first cosplays, first Gunpla builds will always suck. A bit of advice from Jake the dog from Adventure Time. To be good at something, first you have to suck.
Yes.
Just like the Gunpla that I showed you guys, like, it was just half the body. It was my first build. I'm sorry, yeah. It's not as sturdy as I wanted to be.
Oh, no. That's not your fault. That Gunpla kit is really bad. To the point where now Bandai is actually making a 2.0 version, a revive version of that. Because they know how bad it is. Okay, no, yeah. But like, yeah, going back, I think the best advice is just kind of like start. And because everyone is different, everyone has different capabilities and skill sets, kind of like see what works best for you. Because something that works best for someone else may not necessarily work for you. I think that's also a mistake that a lot of newbies or a lot of new people kind of like have a mistake of getting into a habit into. They don't realize what they're capable of. So first dive into it, see what your skills and capabilities are, and then working within those capabilities, I think, is going to get you a really good result. For me, for example, living in Dubai, you know, you have to deal with the heat. And then me being kind of like not having as much of a high budget at the time, I kind of also had to go with cosplays. But I did make one of a really, really accurate Carcat cosplay from Homestuck. And I'll share photos, or you can actually check them out on my Instagram or on my Tumblr, which I have closed off right now. Tumblr.
We don't talk about Tumblr.
Tumblr.
Okay? Let's not, yeah. Please.
That's what I'm already at. Like, I was born in 2005.
That's a part of our lives that we don't talk about here, Ali, okay?
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, just get into it, honestly.
I just got flashbacks of my Tumblr days. I'm sorry. Anyway.
All right. So, Ali, do you have anything that you want to plug? Anything that people can follow you at?
Oh, yeah. So, I am True Alamar over on Instagram, or you know, just catch me on Otaku Emi. I'm more active on Instagram nowadays than I am with any other social media platform.
I think that's very common for us who are living in the UAE. We barely use other platforms. But yeah, anyway.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Vips? Anything you want to plug?
As always, follow me at Vips Black Mage. And guys, I don't know. This is I keep saying this, but I really want to go back to streaming. Let's see. So just follow me on Twitch at Vips Black Mage. Who knows? And by the way, guys, join our Discord server. So we do now have a Discord server, although it's very new. There's not much people yet. So if you can invite people to join there and hang out with everyone, even Ali is there. So just chat with people with the same interests.
And for me, you can follow me at Just Anything on Instagram. And don't forget to follow us on all our socials at the Ara Ara channel. All right. Thank you so much for coming today, Ali.
Thank you guys for having me on board. No, honestly, it's an honor to have a spot on the RR channel. I'm really honored. Thank you guys.
Aww. Thank you.
So, see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.